You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have Josiah Philipson hanging out with me to talk about something that's a little bit different than we typically talk about here. We're going to talk a little bit about marketing, but we're going to talk about things that are really, really important in business outside of marketing. They might touch marketing a little bit. And that's all of the technology that business owners have to either struggle with, suffer through, or if you're one of those rare business owners, get really excited about. Hey, Josiah, welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to come on here and talk to you guys about just tech.
Awesome. So you have a consulting firm. You work with businesses, and as many businesses have learned how to work remotely, you've actually always been doing it, supporting businesses. Talk a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah, so we help businesses. We become your IT support desk. So whether it's, hey, I have issues with my computer and you need help kind of troubleshooting, we can remote in and help support people in that way. Obviously with like, hey, how do I work remotely? So we work a lot with like cloud integrations, with how do you get your files in different places? How do you make sure that your email's flowing and all of those systems are working together so you can work from anywhere?
So this is probably appropriate to pretty much any business out there. Obviously there's some businesses that deal with the types of things that you're talking about, but I know you deal with businesses in the hospitality space and probably other spaces as well. So one of the things that I think we talk about a lot with our clients is the importance of sort of backing up, looking at the big picture and approaching everything strategically. We talk about this with marketing. We talk about it with just sort of business operations in general. And so I wonder if you can share a little bit about what the typical business that you've worked with currently does when it comes to their technology. And then, so this is kind of like the, everybody's in this trap, they're in this bad place, and you're going to explain what that is, because I think people are going to identify, oh, that's me. And then if we can sort of back up and talk about how they should be thinking about it strategically, I think that'll be a great lesson for me and for our listeners, hopefully, as well. So where do most businesses sit when it comes to technology currently?
Yeah, so I would picture something like this. When you're in a business, especially a small business where you're just kind of starting out, trying to figure out where to go, how to kind of move forward. A lot of people, they don't have, like, what happens if your computer catches on fire? Someone steals your computer. What do you do? So things like that. Like, you're in a place like you don't know the answer to these questions. Like, if my computer got stolen, what would I do? If my internet went out, how do I make sure that my business still functions? Do I have backups? If somebody deleted a file on accident, how would I recover it? Or how would I find a revision history if I accidentally wrote something and 2 hours later I realized I totally messed up that document? Where do I go? And how many of you guys, especially this one, have sent an email to somebody saying, oh, I know you need this account, here's a username and password? And so you send them an email with all that information. So things like that, where it's very easy to come in and say, hey, let's fix that. Let's answer these questions. And then another one is really like, how many of you guys waste time on integrations between systems? So a lot of us have Zapier, or heard of Zapier. And so they kind of help integrate systems, but how, like, there's so many systems out there that you just spend so much time clicking, and like, how do I get this one data into a CRM?
So, okay, so we want to back up for those folks, because you're being, making a major assumption that our listeners have heard of Zapier. Can you, for the layperson, explain what that is?
Good point. So what Zapier does is, let's say I use MailChimp and I have like a email automation system, and then I have my records of all my customers. So Zapier will say, hey, I am going to talk to your customer records. Every time you make a change, it will take that name, that email address, and their whatever other fields you want to carry over to MailChimp, and it will read and carry them over. And it's like a zap is what they call it. But basically, it's an integration to say, hey, I'm going to take your record from one place based on these rules you've set up and move it into the next place.
Thank you. Because, hey, I make these assumptions all the time that people like, you know, for the past 19 months that we've been sitting here all using Zoom, that everybody actually does it. But that's not true, right? So I'm assuming that, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about, everybody in the world, particularly if they're in business, understand. And the reality is that most don't. So these are novel ideas. And what you've just described is something that I bet the majority of businesses out there, A, have no idea that it's possible, B, have never even thought, I wonder if there's a way to connect these two things that I deal with in my business to make it easier, to make it more efficient, to, you know, whatever their particular need is. And a lot of the time they don't even have an idea that they have that need.
Yep.
until they know that it's possible to do that sort of thing. So now I want to back up and talk a little bit about how to strategically approach the idea of technology and business, because, you know, clearly we've just been giving some examples of things that businesses can or ought to do or might encounter, but that's not what their main focus is, right? they're focused on how do I get more customers in the door, or how do I get my phone ringing, or how do I, you know, make more sales. And then there's this technology burden that a lot of them have to deal with.
Yeah. So what I mean, when a business, they're looking at it and they're like, hey, how do I get my technology functioning? I think strategically looking at it, even from a marketing side, one of my biggest frustrations is when I work with a company and they email me like their company name at gmail.com. That, to me, it's I haven't invested enough time in my company, and it's really important that it's not hard to set up an email. And I think it's really important that that's your first step, because what happens if you're using gmail.com, a lot of people don't realize that the reason it's free is because they sell that information to other people. So in a business, you really don't want to be using a free email account. Mm-hmm. You want to look at like, hey, how can it's $5 a month for Google, maybe $6. And you set it up and you have a custom branded domain for your email. And that just makes you seem so much more professional. So like, that's really kind of starting out businesses. And then when you kind of get there, you really want to look at what am I doing for my customers, or how do I keep security, right? And security is this giant thing that is very hard to tackle. And a really good, like, couple security things is like a password manager, so you're not sharing passwords between people. That's a really easy thing to implement. We use Keeper, and Keeper allows you to share passwords with your employees, create folders, so they, if you automatically put a password in there, it's shared with like your social media team or whatever teams you have. And then kind of wrapping up with like, hey, do I have antivirus in my computer? And those are kind of small things you can do to really make sure that you're becoming a secure company and you're starting off in a good way.
You know, it'd be really cool. I mean, you're going to tell me you have this. If there was a checklist that you had that went through all of those things, because I think ultimately most businesses aren't thinking about the areas that they need to be making these changes. So if there isn't a checklist currently available from you, I know that after we record this, there soon will be.
Well, let me tell you this. If you go to my website, nextsetconsultants.com, I'm sure if you scroll down at the bottom, you'll find the spot that says, do you have a security checklist? I'm sure it'll be there.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. So those are some big areas. I want to dive into the security thing a little bit more, because I know a little bit about it, and I think, you know, some businesses might have encountered some issue at their end. Certainly most of us have seen big stories about data breaches or been notified about data breaches. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the range of things that businesses need to be thinking about when it comes to security?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that you're a small business, you're not a target for security. And it's actually, it was about 2 years ago, an article came out and it said 56% of data breaches are with small businesses. Because you don't have the, no small business has the money to set up security the way they should. And this is where it's so important to trust those larger companies like Dropbox. It's their whole job to secure your file. Like Dropbox will let you share files and kind of collaborate with people on files. It is their job to make sure that file is secure and can't be breached. They spend billions and billions of dollars a year to make sure that happens. No small business can do that. And so I think it's really trust, like it's hard because you have to trust a company and you have to say, hey, I'm going to put my files there. But it's really the best decision as a small business you can do is trusting those companies that have spent all of that money and made these systems so that you don't have to worry about it and try to build it yourself.
So can you talk a little bit about some of the areas where, aside from access to files, data mm-hmm. is an issue? I'm thinking about, you know, I have something on our WordPress website that helps protect the site being, you know, somebody trying to log in or a bot trying to log in to the site. What else is there out there that businesses really need to be thinking about when it comes to security?
Yeah. And so part of it is, so one thing that's really easy is if you're in a coffee shop, like, and you're connecting to their internet, you really want to have some sort of VPN tunnel if you're using really private information.
VPN tunnel.
Yeah,
help,
sort of VPN.
Help us know what that is.
Yeah, so VPN, what it's short for is virtual private network. And what that means is you're creating a secure signed connection to a service that secures your traffic so nobody can read it. Picture it like if you're in a coffee shop and someone can read information you're sending, like a book, and then all of a sudden your VPN tunnel will turn that book into a scrambled jumble unless you have this specific key to be able to unscramble the words. That's what a VPN tunnel does for you.
Okay. And so we're all dealing with Wi-Fi everywhere. And so some way to protect data that is flying through the air mm-hmm. is important. Okay.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And a good example was WordPress. Like, how do you make sure that your sites are secure? So there's a lot of plugins in WordPress for anti-spam, for reCAPTCHA is what it's called. And it's basically a way to say, hey, you know, when you go to a site and you log in, it pops up and says, do you see all the street signs? Do you see the sidewalk? Do you check this box if you're not a robot? That's what a reCAPTCHA is.
Click on all of the traffic lights. Click on the boats. Yeah. Click on the trucks. I hate those.
Oh, I do too. Or even like the worst is when they're like, write this statement out. And it's like, it's a Z, but it has five different lines through it. So it's like, is it
it's
a
really
Z
hard
or
to
is
figure
it
out what it's actually
or...
saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've entered them a few times. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like easy things you can do on your website. And easy is because it's a plugin that you can search and find on your WordPress site. I think a lot of people, you don't want to try to build something yourself or build it from scratch when there's a tool out there.
Now you bring up these plugins on WordPress, and mm-hmm. there's some good players in the plugin space.
Yes.
But then I get some emails about, you know, some security issues with plugins as well. So can you explain that?
Yeah, I think what's important when you're looking at plugins is really, are they used, first off? Like, you're not going to want to buy a brand new plugin. That's always a really, like
new to the market plugin.
Yeah, new to the market plugin. You don't want to be the first in that space, especially if it's a security plugin. Like, don't do that. And then what you can do is really find it, like a well-reviewed plugin. Because when you search, you can even search for things that are like, hey, how do I get my Google, or how do I get search, or how does something scrape my website to make sure it's good for SEO? You don't want to get a plugin that's new to market, and you don't want to get one that hasn't been tested or reviewed. And so I think that's really important, especially in the WordPress marketplace. They have those things where it's like, hey, here's the stars on it. Here's the reviews. Just spend a second and make sure you don't pick a plugin that has really bad reviews or has only been downloaded less than 1,000 times.
So what is somebody potentially exposing themselves to if they get a bad plugin? I mean, a bad player in the plugin space, I guess.
That could be really bad. You can get a bad plugin, and it basically, if the permissions, if you're trying to be malicious and you've created this plugin, what they can do is they can actually start downloading extra things onto computers, or they can make it look like your site is tracking somebody in a way you're not intending it to happen. Mm-hmm. So then they can also like advertise your site in a way that brings more bots or more people, where you're getting more spam, you're getting things that you just don't really want on your website. So, I've seen a website that had this happen and had to recover from it, was they didn't have a great anti-spam protection, and they just got a bot came in and completely took over all of their comments and reviews on their blog posts in a negative way. It was really kind of bad for their brand and their value to have this happen. And so we had to go in, kind of delete it, clean it up, and make sure that we're now using a good anti-spam and making sure that we have checks in place to make sure the reviews on a larger site, you can hold them and read them and then allow them to be posted.
And so I've visited sites that I've visited, you know, many, many times in the past. And when I type in the URL and I'll go visit it, it redirects me someplace that's not necessarily a place I want to be, you know, and a porn site will jump up or something. And I was like, I didn't mean to go there. What's that about? And I'm imagining that's, you know, due to something like what you're describing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that can happen when a bot goes in, and because we've all seen like random messages on like a YouTube channel or something where it's like, hey, maybe we haven't all seen, but there's messages that come and it says, oh, I'm so glad you came to check this out. Here's my link to check out something else. And that link could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You never know where a link is going to go. And what I would recommend to people for sure is if you don't know that person and you don't know what they're actually posting, 9 times out of 10, just don't click on it. Like,
okay, so we haven't gotten as scary as we can in security, but I think we'll probably leave it there. You also talked about sort of systems and uptime, and you know what happens when things go down. What are the important considerations, and what sort of things do you help businesses put in place around making sure that a business can continue to operate or have access to stuff?
Yeah, so this is really where it becomes business specific. So for example, you mentioned I work with hospitality. So a few restaurants I work with, if their internet goes down, they can't process payments, which is a huge downfall for them. Mm-hmm. So for those companies, what we do is we set up what's called an LTE backup. So it's kind of like the internet you get on your cell phone. But if their main internet goes down, like from Comcast or whatever internet provider you have, then this LTE backup comes in and says, hey, I'm going to allow this internet still to pass specifically for you to process payments. Hmm. Because if your core function is processing payments, you do not want that function to go down. And that's kind of where it's industry specific. Everybody needs internet, so that's just a good example in general, but you kind of need to look at your business. What is something in your business that if it went down would be catastrophic? So some people, especially if you have cloud storage, it's like, hey, if my internet goes down, I have no files. But an LTE backup might not be the best, because to download a 5 gig file will take a long time and it'll be very expensive. So what you look at there is kind of, okay, let's sync our files to our computer, and then I can still work if my internet goes down. And then when it comes back, then it'll just sync back up. So it's really looking at your industry and figuring out what does your business do, and what's the most important for your business to make sure it never goes down.
it's as I'm hearing you talk about this, I'm thinking about all the things that we here in our business are exposed to because of the way that we operate, and knowing what is important to our business, sort of outlining that and figuring that out is critically important, because I don't necessarily need to process payment real time. There are some files I might need. And so kind of working through the process of what is really important to us in how we operate on a daily basis, that's, I think, a critically important early step in the process of thinking through technology. So thank you for that.
Yeah. It's all about kind of like how you guys talk with marketing. It's about niching down and finding that market of, this is what's really important. This is the audience I want to reach. It's the same thing in building your business and technology. It's, I could spend money and throw it everywhere. Technology is a place where you can literally spend as much as you want. Just like in marketing, you can market to the masses, or you could really niche down like you've talked about and say, hey, this is what I really need, and spend your money wisely.
Which obviously is another piece of the puzzle for you, which is budgets. So I'm curious to sort of get your take on this as a business is thinking through all of the stuff that they need to budget for. What are the critical areas when it comes to technology? We'll take the types of businesses that we work with most and most commonly listen to this program, which are professional services firms. So mostly office-based, consultative businesses where they're, probably working a lot remotely these days. What are the types of things that they need to plan to budget for?
Yeah, I would definitely. So you're looking at like remote software, because right now with, hey, we don't know what's happening with COVID. Like, we don't know kind of where to go right now. What we're really looking at is, how do we get our team, especially in professional services where it's not like retail, they have to be on site. How do we get our team to work together and collaborate securely in this environment? So we're really looking at things like having a good email system. So the two that are there are Gmail or Microsoft 365 that are really good email systems, and setting up the security there. Cause you can get Microsoft 365 and you can set up a ton of security just with that one software. So it might be, hey, am I paying the cheapest version, or do I need to upgrade to like $13 a month per employee to really secure it and make sure it works for my company? In terms of file storage and Teams meetings and all of that stuff, that's kind of what you look at there. So that's a quick and easy way to kind of adjust your budget and like, hey, I need to meet this remote working, and how do I do that efficiently?
Got it.
And then kind of looking at like, hey, as I'm remote working, the next step I would say is, am I providing computers to my employees, or are they providing their own? And that's a really hard one, because if you're providing the computer, it obviously costs money, right? But if you're not providing the computer, it could cost you even more money, because now you're getting in, if anything happened to that computer and it's a personal computer, you're running a risk of their stealing data. Like, no, unless you have a malicious employee, nobody purposely would do that. But people make mistakes. And so if you control the computer and you're the one putting the stuff on it that you want, that gives you that control and the ability to say, I know my employees are working remotely in a secure fashion.
I know this list is probably a lot longer than what you've just covered, but you've given us a lot to think about just in those two areas. Mm-hmm. And probably, especially that latter one, is an area that many employers don't really think about. And they feel, oh gosh, I'm so lucky because, Sue from accounting has a laptop that she's willing to use for work. I don't have to invest, a grand in getting her one, right? But what they're exposing themselves to in terms of potential loss, it could be far greater. And thanks for that insight. So listen, we've just about run out of time, but I'm sure just given the nuggets that you've shared here so far, some listeners are going to be interested in knowing a little bit more about what you do and how you might be able to help them. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find us at our websites, nexttechconsultants.com.
And it's one of those websites, by the way, where there's like a double letter that you're not expecting. So it's nexttechconsultants.com with two T's right next to each other.
Yes, yes. And so you can go there. We do have initial consultations where we can review your business. We can talk about kind of plans that you need. And then we'll kind of work with you on a customized quote based on what your needs are.
Are there certain types of businesses that you tend to work with more than others?
Yeah, typically our market is really 5 to 50 employees, and it's really professional services industries is we work really well with. So this is why it was a perfect connection to kind of talk about this.
Excellent. Well, Josiah Phillipson from Next Tech Consultants, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you guys so much.
Indeed. And folks, thank you for hanging out with us and listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. We'll catch you again next time. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.